Okay, to begin with, I'm going to tell you about myself. Okay, is that okay? And the reason I do that is a passage that a couple of passages in the book of Acts, chapter 21, beginning with verse 37. To give you the background here, he's finishing up his missionary journeys. He has just gone to Jerusalem. He has been arrested for supposedly bringing a Gentile into the Jewish temple area. And the Roman soldiers come down and basically rescue him from the crowd that was there. And as they were going on up the steps to the Antonia fortress that was there on the side of the temple area, Paul asks to address the crowd that was there. It says in Acts 21, beginning with verse 37, "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' And he replied, 'Can you speak Greek?'" Paul could speak several different languages. "And then the commander says, 'Aren't you the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?' But Paul says, 'I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people.' And so when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language." All these people there probably understood Hebrew. "He spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, 'Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now.' And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent." And then what's he go on to do? Verse 3, "I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our fathers and zealous towards God, as you are today." So what's he doing here? He's basically sharing his testimony, how he got saved on the road to Damascus and how the Lord led him and how he got to this point. He's sharing his testimony. A little bit later on, Paul was doing pretty good in sharing his testimony until he got towards the end of his testimony in chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, where he says, he's continuing his testimony, "And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." In other words, he was all for the death of Stephen at that time. "Then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you,'" notice this, "'Then he said to me,'" that is the Lord, "'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" A Jew going to the Gentiles. How do you think the people felt about that? Notice the next verse. "And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised up their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.'" All because he said God was sending him to the Gentiles. If you know anything about the early history of the church, the Jewish and Christian community often didn't get along too well together. Sounds like pretty much today a lot of communities don't get along together. And then a little bit later on, Paul did basically the same thing when he was called in. He was arrested, sent down to Caesarea, appeared before Felix at first, and then King Agrippa came, and Paul was allowed to speak before King Agrippa, and what did he do? Shared his testimony of what the Lord had done. And King Agrippa apparently he was listening too well, and he said, "Paul, what are you trying to do? You trying to make me a Christian?" Yeah. "With such few words, you're trying to make..." Yeah. And Well, we know the history of Paul. He was sent from there on ship through a storm and got waylaid along the way. And anyway, what was Paul doing? He was sharing his testimony. That's kind of like what I'd like to do this morning. When it comes to my life, I am really a youper. Born in Ishpeming, went to school in Negaunee, graduated from Negaunee High School. I was born into what I would call a religious family, not necessarily a Christian family, a religious family. We went to church every Sunday. We carpooled with some of our neighbors and went to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in the city of Negaunee. The church at that time preached somewhat of the gospel because it was at a neighboring church where they had an evangelistic meeting. Can you imagine an evangelistic meeting in a Lutheran church? Pastor Albert Houdemacki was the pastor who was there, came from Evan Junction, and he was the pastor, and they had evangelistic meetings. I was about 12 or 13 years old at the time. And I didn't go, they even had an altar call at the end of the, service. I didn't go forward, but my sister who brought me there could see that I was under conviction. And she said as we were getting ready to go out, "Jim, wouldn't you like to talk with the evangelist?" And I did. And we went into a back room behind the main area there in the church. And there were several others back there. And it was there, I still remember to this day, that I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior at that point. I was not the first one in my family to trust Christ. Actually, my eldest sister, who married a Baptist preacher when she was going to nurses training down in Chicago. She went to Moody Bible Institute is where her husband came from. And he is the one who led her to the Lord. And they became missionaries out east with an organization, AMOC, American Mission for Opening Closed Churches. If you know, many churches out on the East Coast are no longer open today. They have a lot of other things going on in them. Anyway, my sister was saved. A little bit later on, my next oldest sister, Dorothy, was saved. And she's the one who invited me to go to this evangelistic meeting at Bethel Lutheran Church in downtown Ishpeming. I was a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Negaunee. But at that point, I really wasn't, I knew the Lord. I knew I was saved. But I didn't really follow him that closely. After graduating from high school, I really enjoyed math and science. And so I went to a school in the UP that dealt mostly with math and science, and that was Michigan Tech. I'm one of the few people who went there, went to the school at that time was called Michigan College of Mining and Technology. And when I was there, I graduated from Michigan Technological University. What happened? They changed names in the meantime. And I graduated from there with a degree in chemistry. Went to work for Dow Chemical Company down in Michigan's Lower Peninsula. And when I started going around looking for churches to go to, I couldn't find any Lutheran churches. I was still a Lutheran at the time. I couldn't find any Lutheran churches that preached the gospel like the ones that I had known up in the UP. And so I started attending a small Baptist church in the town of Freeland, Michigan, the hub of the Tri-Cities. Why do I say that? Because you got Midland, Bay City, and Saginaw with Freeland right in the middle of them. And that's where Tri-City Airport was and still is today. And I started attending this small Baptist church. I was familiar with Baptist. Some of my friends in high school went to Calvary Baptist Church in Negaunee. And so I was good friends with them. And so as I started going there, I enjoyed it. The very first time that I went there, I stood up and gave a testimony. They had a time of testimony in the evening services. I was going to Lutheran churches in the morning and the Baptist church in the evening. Why? Because Lutheran churches never had services in the evening. And so I would go to this small Baptist church. And I eventually stopped going to Lutheran churches and just started going to this church. But one of the things I really appreciated about the folks in that church, almost every Sunday after the service was over, somebody in the church was saying, "What are you doing for lunch today, Jim?" And they would either invite me out to a restaurant or invite me over to their home. And this is the way I got to know those people. If you have people coming that you don't know very well, invite them over. Let them know that you appreciate them. And this is one thing that really worked on my heart. There was a pastor who was there, Pastor Robert Weckel. And, you know, when you get a Lutheran and a Baptist together, eventually some topics are going to come to the surface. And Pastor Weckel, one time we were talking, you know, he asked me, "What do I believe concerning baptism?" And I told him, and he said, "Jim, if you can find any place, just any place in the Bible, where you can show that a baby was baptized," he says, "I'll become a Lutheran like you." And wow, I thought, hey, this is going to be an easy challenge. And so I, no, you're right. I took it upon myself to see what the scriptures had to say. And every place I turned to, you see where people were getting saved and then they were baptized after that. Saved, baptized, saved, baptized. So I had to come to the conclusion that my infant baptism as a baby, probably just 7, 8 days old, didn't really mean anything. It didn't make me saved. Wasn't too long thereafter that I asked to be baptized and became a part of First Baptist Church of Freeland, Michigan. Freeland, yep. And while I was there, the Lord began to convict me of other things. He used my brother-in-law, who was married to my sister Dorothy, who happened to be a Lutheran evangelist. He came up and said, "Jim," because he knew that I was considering some sort of Christian work somewhere. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a pastor, a missionary, or what. But he said, "Why is it that a person who is a Christian would be satisfied in a secular job that anybody can do, but not want to do work for Christ because only a Christian can work there?" And wasn't too long thereafter that I started looking at Bible schools to go to. I probably had a stack on my kitchen table about that high of catalogs from various schools around the country. But the Lord gave me real peace about attending a small school in Iowa called Faith Baptist Bible College, just north of Des Moines, Iowa, in the town of Ankeny. And one of the reasons I had considered that is because another fellow from First Baptist Church, an older fellow who worked at Tri-City Airport, also had been convicted about becoming a pastor in a church. And he went out to Faith. And on one time when he was back home in Freeland, I had a chance to talk with him. And he said, "Why don't you come out and take a look at the school?" Which I did. And well, make a long story short, I eventually went to Faith Baptist Bible College, Ankeny, Iowa, and was there for another 4 more years. So that makes a total of 8 years. 4 at Tech, 4 at Faith. And someone had told me that, "Well, why don't you go to a seminary? You already got college behind you. You could just go to a seminary." I didn't want to go to a seminary. The main reason is because I wanted to know what the Bible says. I wanted to go to a Bible school, one that teaches the Bible. And I was so glad that I went there, and that's where I met my wife, Ruth, over here. They facetiously called it Faith Baptist Bridal College. And, you know, young people, if they want to find a life's mate, there's no better place than a place like a Bible college to find your life's mate. And so I went to there. We applied with, at that time, it was Hiawatha Land Independent Baptist Missions, which basically served across the UP area. Hiawatha Land, where's that? That is the UP. Hiawatha, the lake, that's Lake Superior. You'll probably all remember the Longfellow's poem, "By the shores of Gitche-Gumee, by the shining Big Sea water, lay the wigwam of Nakoma, daughter of the moon Nakoma, dark behind," and I can't remember the rest of it, but anyway, we applied with Hiawatha Baptist Missions, which later on changed its name to Continental Baptist Missions, because early missionaries started off in the UP. A lot of the Baptist churches that you find up in the UP had their origin with the Hiawatha Baptist Missions. But eventually other missionaries came with the mission, and they didn't particularly feel called to the UP. They wanted to be called to other areas of the country, and so the mission eventually changed its name to Continental Baptist Missions. And why did I choose the UP? I was from the UP. I was a Uper, and there were times when I would come home and visit my family who lived in outskirts of Negaunee, and I would go by those churches that I had known and grown up in as a boy, and to see them having changed their message so much that they no longer preach the gospel of Christ anymore. And so that was the Lord convicting me of, we need churches across the UP that preach the gospel. And so we spent 2 years on deputation after I graduated. Then came, when we were on deputation, we were planning to go to the Harvey area of Marquette, which is kind of in South Marquette area. One of the main reasons, K.I. Sawyer Air Force Base was just down the road from there. And we figured that not only would we reach the people in Harvey, there was no Baptist church there of any kind. Not only could we reach those folks, but we could also reach people at Sawyer. But as soon as we were planning on going there was already a missionary in Ishpeming, Michigan, at the church in Ishpeming. So we spent our deputation planning on going to the Harvey area of Marquette. But when we got enough support that we were ready to make the move, we found out from Marquette Bible Church that they had a missionary coming to the same area that we were planning on going to. And so what do we do? I mean, our doctrines and everything were pretty much very similar all the way down the line. And so we were kind of thrown into a quandary as to, Lord, what are you doing here? It was at that time, the pastor who was in Ishpeming, it was a small Baptist church. About half of the congregation was made up of Air Force people at the time. And it wasn't a large church. We were probably only running 30 people or so in attendance. The pastor approached me and said, "Jim, have you ever thought about Bible Baptist in Ishpeming?" And I said, "Why? I mean, you're there." He says, "We feel that the Lord is leading us on to some other place." And they eventually went down to Lower Michigan. And to make a long story short, we ended up at Bible Baptist Church in Ishpeming, which was on the corner of 3rd and High, an old Baptist church that was built. The building was built in 1908. So it had some issues with it. And we started off there. And while we were there, I'm not sure if we were there or had we gone to our new church already. You all know that K.I. Sawyer closed. And that had quite a bit of effect on our church, because all the Sawyer people left. Some have come back. People who worked at Sawyer and liked the area. We have a family in our church who were at Sawyer and still a part of our church. They had gone to several places around the country, but eventually after he got out of the Air Force, he retired back to Ishpeming, and they are still members of our church there. So the Lord has led us along during our time there. We built a new building out on 10 acres of land just west of town. And through Continental Baptist Missions, we were able to get mission, what we call mission builders, who came there and helped us build our church. No charge, only for the materials and so forth. They were all volunteers. And we were there. Our church was pretty much completed in 1990. And we've been there ever since. In the early 2000s, the church went what we call self-supporting. And they voted to have us stay on as their full-time pastor, which we were happy to do. I had no desire to move on to any other place. I felt that I knew the people. I believe God was leading us there, and that's where we've been. And after 37 years, we have retired, which is why I'm here today. So that's kind of how we got to where we are.